Outstanding hymn, praise. David said, praise be the Lord. And his most praiseworthy attribute is his holiness. Very scriptural hymn, too. 1 Samuel chapter 2. 1 Samuel chapter 2. This is commonly referred to as Hannah's prayer. Many great prayers recorded in Scripture, and I would love to list them for you, some of them. Prayers of great men, such as Moses. Moses' prayer, Deuteronomy 32, I think that's one of your favorites. 33. Elijah. Prayers, David, his prayers are many throughout the Psalms. Solomon's prayer, the dedication of the temple. I don't think we've ever looked at that together. If the Lord doesn't come, we'll do so. Paul's prayers throughout his epistles, but one of the greatest, most God-honoring prayers in all of Scripture by a woman. As a matter of fact, David repeats her. We read it. David repeated Hannah's prayer here, some of it. You may not know the story, but Hannah was married to a loving man named Elkanah. And she wanted children, but was unable to have them. It says the Lord had shut up her womb. The Lord prevented her from having children while another woman who was also married, at least in name, to this man, had many children. And Hannah was sorrowful about this. But the Lord had prevented her from having children that he might give her eventually one very special child. Very special, and he is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, in chapter 1, we find her worshiping at Shiloh. Worshiping, calling on the Lord. Verse 13 says, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, her voice was not heard. She was praying to the Lord about her trouble. But she didn't say anything. She was praying from the heart. Well, the Lord heard that prayer. The Lord heard her heart's prayer, for the Lord looks on the heart. Do you recall anyone saying that? Samuel said it. God said it to Samuel when Samuel was looking for a king. Remember? He said it about David, a man after his own heart. That sparked the memory in Samuel, I'm sure. It just occurred to me, Sam. The Lord told Samuel that. The Lord looks on the heart. Mom told me that. Well, from the heart. And we remember the words of that wise old preacher who said, better to have a heart without words than words without heart. Words are cheap. But sometimes, Scripture says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth has to speak. Out of the abundance of the heart. God answered Hannah's heart's prayer. Gave her a son. And what a son he was. Samuel. And this boy, Hannah, dedicated to the Lord. Look at verse 28 and chapter 1. Hannah brought him back. You remember Hannah brought him after he'd been weaned, about 6 or 7, or not simply from nursing, but just weaned from the need of a mother and a father. And brought him back to the temple to serve the Lord. to help Eli, who was growing up. And this is what she says in verse 28 to Eli. I have lent him to the Lord. Return him, that is. He shall be lent, or that is, returned to the Lord. And Samuel worshiped the Lord there. And now, this is the story behind this prayer. And here's Hannah's prayer after bringing that boy to this temple. And I assume she prayed it just as she was ready to leave and leave that boy. Now think about it. Her only child. She loved that boy dearly. She brought him up here. She's going to leave him there, Jenny. For good. Any sorrow in this prayer? No. Nothing but praise and rejoicing. Look at it. Verse 1. And Hannah prayed and said, My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. From the bottom of it, from the bottom of my heart, I rejoice in the Lord. Not the boy, but the Lord. She's not going to mention that boy in this prayer. She's rejoicing in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord, Paul said. And again I say, rejoice in the Lord. See, that's how she could turn him over. Because all of her heart's rejoicing wasn't in the boy, but in the Lord. And she knew the Lord gave this boy miraculously. He belongs to the Lord. I'm giving him back to the Lord. Oh, it was a good thing, wasn't it? What happened to that boy as a result of that? Mothers, listen carefully. Listen carefully. You will not lose what you turn over to the Lord. He gave it anyway. Well, she said, my heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. The horn now is used all through the Scripture. People back in these old days were familiar with animals. All of their lives were spent around animals. Deer, rams, bulls, you know, so forth. And the strength of a male was in horn. Right? Horn. Anytime you mention it mentions horn in the Scripture, that's strength. That's an emblem of strength. The altar, you know, had horns, four horns. Emblem of our Lord's strength, the ram, the male. Well, she said, my strength is in the Lord. He is my strength. That's what she's saying. That I have none but in Him. He is my strength. And she said, in my mouth, you remember when what's her name? Penina, the adversary. Remember when she was boasting of how she had all those babies, had all those children, and Hannah had none? Remember that? What do you think Hannah had to say about that? When this woman was boasting of her family, and Hannah had no family to boast of, what was Hannah's reply? She could say nothing. Her mouth was stopped. She had nothing to say. And now she says, now look at it. She said, my mouth is enlarged over mine enemies because I rejoice in thy salvation. Hannah had to wait on the Lord, wait and see what the Lord would do. No, he did. He provided her with apparently the only one of all these children that the Lord saved. No mention, Jenny, of Penina's children ever again, or her. But oh, how the Lord blessed Hannah and her son. She said, my horn, my mouth is exalted. My answer, she said, I couldn't find an answer before, but the Lord answered for me. You see that? I had no way to answer. The Lord answered for me. And we'll wait, too. Lord will answer everything for us. We'll have our answer from Him. We don't need to give one. That's a good thought. She said, I rejoice in thy salvation. Hannah's heart's joy. She loved that boy, saying, that's her only child. A miracle child. And he was a good son. He had to have been. To be willing to do what he did here. To come. And he was obviously a devoted and studious and just a model child. A model son. She brought him and he was willing to stay there. And it says he worshipped the Lord there. Didn't know, but he worshipped the Lord. Did what his mom and daddy taught him to do. Now, this was a dear, dear son. And she loved that boy. Wouldn't you? We love sons who are rebels. My mother's father loved me. But this Samuel was worthy to be loved. Well, but she says, my rejoicing is in the Lord. I rejoice in His salvation. It's of the Lord's mercies that we're not concerned. Sure, it's the Lord's mercy and grace and goodness and kindness in providing in His providence and giving me this and giving me that. Yes, that's the goodness of the Lord. And I rejoice in the Lord's goodness in giving me this, giving me that, and giving me this precious Son. But now, my heart's chief rejoicing is in His salvation. His mercy, His grace, His loving kindness. His redemption. She rejoiced in her son, but rejoiced more in God's son. You see? That way, the Lord took his son. She was still rejoicing. You understand? Do you understand? Rejoice in the Lord. And again, she said, rejoice. All right. Now notice this prayer is full of just praise for God. She doesn't ask anything. Vicki, she doesn't ask anything. Most people think of prayer as just asking God, give me, give me, give me, give me. No, no, no. When our Lord taught us to pray, He told us to pray and ask for two things, bread and forgiveness. And the rest of this prayer, most of this prayer anyway, is praise and exaltation of God's character. Verse 2, look at it. There's none holy as the Lord. There's none holy as the Lord. Tell us about your God, Hannah. Who are you praying to? What's your God like? The Holy Land. Holy Land. Holy is the Lord God of hosts. Now there's a woman that knows the Lord. Tell us about your God. Tell us. Tell us about your Lord. What's He like? Holy. You ladies, Mary. Tell us about your Lord. What's He like? Holy. There's none holy as the Lord. And look at this, saying He like this. And there's none beside thee. Neither is there any rock like our God. That sound familiar? There's no rock like our God, she said. Now, this was Moses' prayer in Deuteronomy 32. This is exactly what Moses said. Their rock's not like our God. And Hannah is repeating. There's no original prayer, and there's nothing original with God's people. We're all saying the same thing. All of God's people talk about a holy God. Their rock. All of them, on down the line, from the greatest, Moses, to the least, He's our rock. That's what they're all saying. That rock is Christ. And God teaches them that. God teaches them who He is, holy, and who their place of refuge is, Christ the rock. And there's no rock like our God. And that's the song of the redeemed. You remember over in Revelation, the song of Moses said they all sung the song of Moses. You remember that? So all the people in glory sing the song of Moses. What's that? About the rock. About the rock. All of God's children. And so Hannah is repeating Moses. And you remember us reading in Psalm 113, David's repeating Hannah. So all of God's people say the same things concerning the same one. Verse 3, talk no more so exceeding proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth. The Lord is a God of knowledge. By Him actions are weighed. Who's she talking to? Who's she talking to? She's praying. Who's she talking to? Not us. Although, I need to hear that. Talk to yourself. Huh? She's talking to herself. That needs to be, we need to be reminded. Don't talk proudly. Never, never let arrogancy come out of your mouth. And whoever heareth this prayer. The Lord is a God of knowledge. The Lord is a God of knowledge. God knows the thoughts and intents of the heart. He's not listening to words. We're not heard for our much speaking, Scripture says. By Him, actions are weighed. God looks, doesn't look, listen to the words. He looks at the heart. God's not watching the actions. He's looking at the motive behind the action. The purpose behind it. Verse 4. She said, the bows of the mighty men are broken. That's the weapons of mighty men. Whatever mighty men, strong men, women lean upon, whatever they resort to, their weapons. It says, she says, they're broken. The Lord's going to break them off. But now, she said, they that stumble, those that have no weapons, are girded with strength. Girded? Maybe that's where Paul got this. Girded with the truth. The whole armor of the Lord. Strong in the Lord. In the power of His might. And all He said, His strength is made perfect in our weakness. So anybody that leans on the arm of the flesh, whatever it may be, going to have that torn out from under them. But those that lean on the arm of the Lord are girded with strength. Underneath are the everlasting arms. Verse 5. They that were full have hired out themselves for bread. That is, those that are rich and increased with goods, they're turned away. But they that were hungry ceased from being hungry. Remember when David said, now I'm old. I've been young and I now am old, he said in his latter days. But see, I've never seen the righteous forsaken. Never. And we'll see that in a minute. Nor his seed begging bread. Never. I've told you many times of people calling me on the phone asking for assistance from our church for food or whatever. And first thing I ask them, do you go to church anywhere? Oh, yeah, I remember. I say, then you mean to tell me that those people where you go that's supposed to love you, provide for their own, that your life, they're going to turn your lights out? That you don't have any food? That's just not so with God's people. And then I proceed to say something about the gospel to every one of them and say, you come here, you hear the gospel, I guarantee you, your needs will be met. There's not a person in our congregation that's ever had their light bill, their electric turned off. And every one of them's refrigerator is full. That's just not so with God's people. No, they're not go hungry. And maybe the principal meaning is never hunger for the gospel. In that time when the world is in famine of the hearing of the word, God's people have a table, a lavish table spread before them. All they got to do is come hungry, and they can eat to their fullest.
verse 5 says, she that was barren, the barren hath borne seven, seven being a perfect number. She hadn't borne this many yet, has she? Well, she does have several after this. But the number seven is always perfection. And what she's saying is, I have a perfect child. Ah, the barren, this one is as good as seven to me, she said, and he was. And she that hath many children has waxed feeble because of them. She's got nothing but trouble. This woman that was boasting. And remember how we saw that Hannah represents the church. Remember in chapter 1, Hannah represents the church. And this other woman is someone who pretends to be a believer, but it's not. Well, false church may have many, many members, but they have lots of trouble. God's people. I wish I could tell people, are you looking for a perfect church? This is as close as it comes. It really is, people. It really is. I don't hesitate to say that. I'm not bragging on this church, I'm bragging on the grace of God, on the gospel that does it. So we haven't had a fuss in 11 years. And I ain't going to knock on wood. I cross my fingers, I'm going to praise God for that. We haven't had a fuss. In spite of me, my meanness, in spite of your meanness, we haven't had a fuss since I've been here. And I don't anticipate having it. Not as long as the gospel is preached. And, boy. They that are barren have borne seven. She that hath many is wax feeble. What verse 6 said? Now she continues to talk about our Lord. She says, the Lord killeth and maketh alive. Now she's just, why does she say this? Why does she pray this? Because this is part of his glory and character. This is his person. And this is our anything or anyone dies, God killed it. And it needed to be, or it would not be. Remember, whoever it may be, the Lord killeth. Remember that. The Lord killeth. Cancer doesn't kill. The Lord killeth. The car wreck doesn't kill. There's no accident. There's no such thing as an accident. Now here's our comfort. The Lord killeth. And the Lord maketh alive. The Lord maketh alive. Sure does. And spiritually speaking, the Lord is going to have to kill those who are already dead in sin. Our family. The Lord is going to have to kill them. I mean, you understand what I'm saying? Spiritually speaking. And that's what we want him to do. I want the Lord to do. We want the Lord to slay him, kill him, and make him alive. That's what he's got to do first, is kill him to make him alive. You have to humble him to raise him up. So, if it dies, God killed it. If they're convicted, the Lord has to do it. If it lives, if life is given, the Lord gave. The Lord gives, the Lord taketh away. Heard that before. Alright. Verse 6. He bringeth down to the grave and he bringeth up. Whoever are his own that he brings to the grave, he'll sure bring up to glory. And verse 7. The Lord maketh poor. The Lord maketh poor. The Lord maketh rich. Working that meager job for how many years now? How long has it been since you've had a raise? Huh? Barely making ends meet? Huh? Are the ends meeting? That's all you need. The ends to meet. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He
maketh poor, and he maketh rich. Promotions of the Lord, Scripture said. Demotion is too. Let me tell you this, what Scripture said. There are those that have great riches. Proverbs says, yet have nothing. And there are those that make themselves poor, or made poor, and have great riches. Let me tell you this. Better is little for the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Better is a dry morsel with the fear of the Lord than a stalled ox or a freezer full of meat and a lot of trouble. So the Lord does it. He bringeth low and lifteth up. Lord bringeth low and lifteth up. Low and high. It's of the Lord. Verse 8. I like this. I love this verse. And this is what David quoted. The Lord raiseth up the poor out of dust. Lifted up the beggar from the dunghill. Poor out of the dust. To set them among princes. And make them inherit the throne of glory. And who's he speaking of? Well, I think of many people. Throughout the history of God's Word. I think of Joseph. Remember, his brethren cast him into a pit, an old dusty pit. Where'd he end up? On the throne of glory. I think of Gideon. Gideon was out there threshing wheat. If you've ever threshed wheat or been in a field where you're cutting hay or whatever, it's hot, it's dusty. Where'd Gideon end up? Captain of a great army, leader of the people. Deliverer of God's people. I think of David. He's following sheep. That's what Nathan reminded him. The Lord said to David, I took you from following sheep, leading and following sheep, walking along behind a bunch of sheep to the throne of Israel, greatest king ever. Huh? I can think of one in particular. The Lord, he grew up as a root out of dry ground. Where is he? On the throne of glory. Right now. And these beggars from the dung heap, one time I was out shoveling manure behind Molly, and she can make a lot of it. And but Bob Coffey was visiting, and he was watching me do that. He was shaking his head. I was kind of enjoying it, believe it or not. But he was shaking his head, and that was a nasty job. I said, everybody needs to do this. Everybody needs to take off their coat and tie, come down off their high horse, and get over here and shovel this maneuver. Because this will remind you what we are and where we came from. Because you see, we're all beggars. Lifted off the dung heap of this world. This world, think about it. She started out by saying, there's none holy as our Lord. You know what this world is to God? You know what this world is like to the holy, thrice holy God who can't look on the sun if it doesn't shine? You know what it's equivalent of to God Almighty? Dung. It's a dung. The old writers used to talk about it, cesspool of iniquity. That's what they used to call it. How the Lord came down into the cesspool of iniquity. Septic tank of iniquity called planet Earth. And it is, and it is. Our little town is restrained a great deal, but it's still. It's a stinking place, isn't it? Right? And we're all from it. And we're all full of it. No pun intended. Or yes, pun intended. And we all come from it, and we're all beggars. Right? We're all beggars. Beggars being totally dependent on someone else for a handout or a hand out. totally dependent on somebody to reach down. We sing that song, He Reached Down for Me. Where did He reach to? In the muck and the mire and the dunghill. This beggar. And what did He do? Huh. Washed us, robed us, applies the balm of Gilead, the sweet, smelling spices of Christ's righteousness, sets us at His table, sets us among princes. Princes. Ah, boy. Isn't the Lord good? Verse 8, it says, He, pillars of the Lord, earth of the Lord, that is, the foundations of the Lord, He set the world upon them. That is, the whole world turns on the axis that God put it on. Everything. You remember old Nebuchadnezzar, the mightiest man on earth at the time? Remember how he said, look at what all my hand has done. You remember what the Lord did to him? Don't talk so arrogantly, so proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth again. He was brought down to look like to literally be an animal. His fingernails grew, his hair and all that. Until he found out, the scripture says in Daniel 4, that the Most High ruleth the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. That the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The earth, the world, and they that dwell therein. And he giveth it to whomsoever he will. The whole world turns because God turns it. And everybody and everything in it is under His sovereign reign and rule. And He giveth it, or whatever in it. Lord, teach me to pray like this. He will keep. Oh, verse 9. He will keep. Now, she's told us who the Lord is, what He has done, and what He is doing. And now she's going to tell us what He will do. He will keep the feet of His saints. Yes, He will. David picked this up. David picked this up in Psalm 121, verse 3. He said, He that keepeth Israel shall not slumber or sleep. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. Now, John, here's a word in season. David said, and remember David said this before, he said, my feet have well nigh slipped. You ever feel like one foot's dangling, the other one's on a banana peel? Is that the old saying, Barbara? One foot's dangling, the other one's on a banana peel. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to fall. I'm ready to slip. That's what David was saying. I feel like I'm going to fall at any time now. He will keep the feet of His saints. Not one of those who trusted in Him have fallen for good. Only fallen. But though a righteous man fall, he'll never give it to him. Always. 70 times 7. He will keep the feet of His saints. Folks, I need to hear that. He'll keep our feet in paths of righteousness to the end. The Lord, it said, look at it, verse 9. The wicked shall be silent in darkness. He'll keep the feet of His people, those that trust Christ. He'll keep. Those that think they keep themselves, He'll cast out. They'll be in silent. They'll be silent in darkness. Wicked shall be silent in darkness. Nothing to say. Nothing to say. God's people, Christ will answer for them. And by strength, verse 9, by strength shall no man prevail. It's not by might, not by power, or anything of the flesh, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. We don't have to answer them. Say the Lord rebuke thee, Satan, or whoever it may be. Because the Lord, when vengeance is mine, He said, I will repay. Out of heaven shall He thunder upon them, and the righteous are going to see it. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth.
He shall judge how? Wait a minute, who is this Lord? Who's he talking about? Our Lord Jesus Christ is who he's talking about, or she's talking about. And the Lord said, he has committed all judgment unto the Son. That's what Christ said. The Father has committed all judgment unto the Son. So this is Christ. How is he going to judge the earth? How? Acts 17, verse 31 says, the Lord has ordained. The Lord is going to judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. So now here's a good news. We're coming to the judgment. We all shall stand before the judgment seat of God. All right? But God's people, those that know and love and trust Christ, those whom he died for and gave them his righteousness, he's the judge. So there's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ. He's going to say, enter in. The rest is going to say, what? While he judges them by himself, according to his righteousness. We're judged by his righteousness. We're found righteous. They'll be judged next to his righteousness. Well, that man. And so it says, the Lord shall judge, and he shall give strength unto his king. Who are you talking about, Hannah? What king are you talking about? Israel doesn't have a king yet. Oh, she's going to. His name is David. Your son, actually. Samuel. She doesn't know it yet. Samuel's going to be really the first king. Let me show you something. Show them in. Look back to the first chapter. Back to the first chapter. You know what the name of this book is? First Kings. Look up there under the title. First Book of Samuel, otherwise called First Book of Kings. Second Samuel is Second Kings. Third, First Kings is Third Kings. Fourth, Second Kings, Fourth Kings. Why is that? Because Samuel and 1 Samuel, the whole book of 1 Samuel is about Samuel, first king, first prophet. Prophet, priest, and king. What a type of Christ Samuel was. He was a prophet, he was a priest, and he was, in fact, king of Israel. And he's the one that anointed David as the king. The king. And all of 2 Kings, or rather 2 Samuel, is about David. There's a little tidbit on the top of it. Well, what king are you talking about, Hannah? Well, your son? Yeah. Well, David? Yeah. Well, how about the King of Kings? Yes, he has all strength, and he is God's anointed. Exalt the horn, the strength of thy anointed. And he will, and he has. And now, she ended her prayer. And I looked at this next verse and I thought, what am I going to say about that? This kind of looks like in passing, it says, and Elkanah went to the house. Why did it say that? Why is it reminding us of that? Because, well, Hannah did too. She's in her husband, her head. Whatever he did, she did too. She went to the house. Now, remember, she had brought her only child, her son, her firstborn, her only son whom she loved, to the Lord. All right? And dropped him off. She didn't know Eli. Hophni and Phinehas were there, too. Eli was in a mess. She brought that boy another leg. Dropped him off. Said, honey, let's go home. What are you trying to say? What's the Lord saying here? Rest. She extolled and honored and glorified and praised after this prayer, Vicki, of nothing but praise for God. What else is she going to do? Worry? After a prayer like that, what's she going to do? Oh, my boy's okay, Eli. You better take care of him now. Let's go to the house. Okay? Let's go to the house. Think you'll be all right?
I know we'll be all right.
Lord, kill him. The Lord make him alive. The Lord raises us. The Lord casts us down. The Lord make us poor. The Lord make us rich. None holy is higher than God. The Lord liveth. And Samuel's the Lord. Let's go to the house. That's why they say. And look at what happened. It says the child did minister unto the Lord before Eli the priest. And on later on, we may look at it later. But he didn't know the Lord, but he's going to. The Lord's got to honor a prayer like that. You say, you can't check. The Lord doesn't have to. No, in the Lord, he'll honor a prayer like that. Yes, he will. See, she wasn't asking. She was praising. She wasn't worrying or fretting. She was casting it all before the Lord. She rested, trusting the Lord. Whatever you do is right. And we know what he did, don't you? That's good news. That only the Lord will give us the prayer of a Hannah. All right, let's stay. Now, I wish somebody else would pray. But I would. Our Lord, thank you for your word. How we thank you. From the mouth of a weaker vessel, formerly barren woman, troubled and tried, yet now, woman by your grace and mercy and kindness and revelation, woman of faith, strength, and resolve. Lord, give us the faith of a Hannah. Give us the prayer of a Hannah. We pray. That's our prayer. Lord, we do commit our young people unto thee. Cast all our care upon thee, knowing you care for us. You gave, and they're yours. It's all yours. So we roll it back onto thee, knowing that you will do what's right. The judge of the earth shall do what's right. And Lord, we do ask that you would honor your word in our midst that you did Hannah of old, and the salvation of our sons and daughters, for the glory of that great King in whose all our strength and hope and help. You're anointed. The one whose name we pray in, you always hear. So we ask these things for Christ's sake, his glory and honor, according to your word. Amen. You're dismissed.